So they prayed and set guards to protect against them day and night. But Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, and there is too much rubbish so that we are unable to work on the wall. I mean, that wall was totally destroyed when that city was ransacked, and this is many years later, and it was really never built. It says, our enemy said they will not know or see anything before we come up on them and kill them and stop the work. You know, so they were trying to rebuild, but the enemy kept on attacking. And it was relentless. And the people were getting demoralized. And that's why God sent them Nehemiah. Because here was a man that was praying, that was fasting, that was going to God. He had a burden for his people. He loved them. He hated to see what was going on in the city. He heard the stories. He heard how they were being attacked. And later we'll see how he heard even their own leaders were mistreating them in the city. And he just hated it. When the Jews who lived near them came, they said to us 10 times, from all the places where they live, they will come up against us. So no matter where these enemies were, they were coming, you know, night and day after them. And it was getting them to the point of despair. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, and in the open places, Nehemiah says, I stationed the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I thought about that. And I said, okay, so you put, you know, people along the walls in different places. But the key thing here is he did it according to their families. You know, nobody fights harder than for family, right? I mean, when you think about it. You have your kids there that you're fighting for. You have your mother, your father, you know, your family. That's your blood. You know, you'll die for your blood, and you'll fight for your blood. And sometimes that's why war is so devastating, because everybody's fighting for their blood. But that was the key, that he put them there by their families. Says, after I looked these things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your kin, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. You know, you got to give it your all. Yeah, this is life and death. For you. These people are out to kill you. You know? Fight. Get on your knees. That's the message for us. Fight the good fight of faith. That's what we have to do as children of God. Not that we have to put a gun on our side or a knife or a sword. No, now we have the armor, right? We have the armor of God, which encompasses many things. Many things. But the most important is prayer. And getting before God and letting Him know what's going on in your life. Not that He needs to, He already knows, but you need to talk to Him about it. You know, many times we know what our children's lives are like, but we like to hear them talk about it, you know, and try to teach them how to trust in us as their parents. We don't do that very well sometimes, and they don't listen very well, but we don't stop trying, right? God never stopped trying with Israel. He kept on bringing them back. Kept on forgiving them over and over. But he let them go through the tough times because, you know, if you're going to be a king and a priest in my kingdom, I'm sure he's going to have to teach you lots of good lessons. You know, and if you keep on making the same mistake, how are you going to fulfill that position he has for you as a king and a priest someday? That's what he said you're going to be, kings and priests, right? So, I wish I could just get on my knees and pray for something and God would just, okay, I'll take care of that for you. Yeah, I wish that's the way life worked. But then again, I say I better watch what I wish for. I don't know how that would play out in the final, you know, analysis. God is, he's got the ultimate wisdom in all my problems and difficulties in life. And if he makes things too easy, that's not good for us, is it? No. No, we have to learn lessons, and sometimes we have to learn them the hard way. It's just the way life is. Do not be afraid of them, Nehemiah said. Remember the Lord, he is great and awesome, and fight for your families. So, he stationed people along these walls in various places, and they were armed. And all throughout the work of building that wall, they had their weapons right there. So if they were attacked, they could fight. And they had their families right there too, just waiting. And you know, that wall was built in 52 days. It only took 52 days. So Nehemiah prayed. God showed him what he needed to do. He told the people what they need to do. And they stopped their enemies cold. And they were able to fulfill God's will and build that wall. You know, God wasn't going to let them down. As long as they continue to trust in him and have faith in their God, he was going to accomplish his plans and purpose. And they didn't do it perfectly. You know, they complained and they were bringing bad reports and all of that and discouraging reports, but they persevered, you know. Nehemiah was able to get them motivated and to help them understand that their God can do anything. Their God is a faithful God who will see you through. No doubt. Don't have any doubts. Yeah, we get scared, and you know, sometimes we just don't truly believe the way we should. I mean, it's not easy, right? It's not easy. Sometimes we just get all riled up inside. We get discombobulated, you know. We worry. We're anxious. We go through that. I mean, we're human, and I guess that's part of our humanity. So, you know, you can't stop feeling it when the attacks come. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you in some way, right? Spiritually, you feel it inside. You know, whether it's family, whether it's outside or inside, like the scripture is telling us here, we can get attacked from all kinds of places. If we're not careful, those attacks can take us out. So, part of what we're seeing here is unity helps to repel the enemy. Family repels the enemy. Not one individual, per se, but it's everybody working together and having a purpose, one purpose and one mind. That's what's going to really make things go smoothly for us. And that's been the problem in the church for many years, not only in our congregation, but the church around the world. We're very divided. We are. I mean, if we really joined together as one church, what could we accomplish? I mean, there's a lot of accomplishment now, and I understand that churches are based in different localities, but, you know, if we were all unified behind certain things, we could really accomplish a lot. Now, you think about sin, when it entered the world, how much it took away what we could have accomplished as human beings. Where would we be today if we never sinned against God, never disobeyed Him, trusted Him? I mean, gee, who knows where we'd be now? You know, He had to constantly, you know, put us down because our thinking processes, like the Tower of Babel, was a good example of slowing us down, you know, because the people, their hearts weren't right. And they were joining together, but for a wrong purpose. You know, they were setting up their own idols instead of trusting in Him. So I just think, you know. So then the next part of this is God's people addressing social injustices, because you had the people from the outside attacking, but they also had many problems inside in Jerusalem. And in chapter 5, starting in verse 1, we could see a little bit about what was going on here. It says, there was a widespread outcry from the people and their wives against their Jewish countrymen. Some were saying, we, our sons and our daughters are numerous. Let us get grain so that we can eat and live. So there was some type of famine going on here. And the nobles and the people that were set over the Jews, they were sort of you know, exacting high taxes on them, and you know, they actually had to sell their kids into slavery in order to eat. You know, the Nehemiah, he's looking at this and he's saying, my goodness, what are you doing to the people? You know, what kind of leaders are you? We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and homes to get grain during the famine. And others were saying, we borrowed money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. We and our children are just like our countrymen and their children. Yet we are subjecting our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters are already enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and vineyards belong to others. They had to sell off their fields and vineyards. And then Nehemiah said, I became extremely angry when I heard their outcry and their complaints. Yeah. Yeah. I think anybody would be extremely angry, you know, to see that much corruption going on in society. I mean, you know, we're not immune from that in this country, that's for sure. You know, there's a lot of corruption. But, you know, thankfully we are a free society and we do pursue things like that when it happens, hopefully. You know, we don't always get justice in this country. By a long shot, we don't. But the way some other countries are, you know, there's no, you don't have a voice. You don't even have a voice in those countries. So you can cry out, but nobody's going to listen. And that's what was happening to the Israelites until Nehemiah came on the scene. He said, I became extremely angry. And after seriously considering the matter, I accused the nobles and officials, saying to them, each of you is charging his countrymen interest. So I called the assembly together and said, we have done our best to buy back our Jewish countrymen who were sold to foreigners, but now you sell your own countrymen, and we have to buy them back. And they remained silent and could not say a word. Then I said, what you are doing isn't right. You know, you may have to stand up to something in your life that's not right. And it's not easy sometimes to do that, but you may be compelled to, because that's your job as a Christian. You know, we do have a social responsibility in this world. And when something's not right, you need to stand up and say it's not right, no matter what people say back to you. You know, that's not an easy thing. And I would pray a lot before I did, but, you know, do what's right and trust in God. That's all we can do sometimes. Yeah, you may have to suffer a little bit, but at least you did what was right. So, what are you doing isn't right, Nehemiah said. Shouldn't we walk in the fear of God and not invite the reproach of our foreign enemies? Even I, as well as my brothers and my servants, have been lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop charging this interest. So yeah, they were giving, but they were charging like exorbitant interest on what they were lending, that people couldn't pay it back. So they sold their kids into slavery and things like that. It was terrible. You know, it's terrible to be in that situation, in a debt situation. But we have to trust God. You know, if we have issues and problems that way, we have to put our trust in God. And not do the wrong thing, but do the right thing. Because I always think God will bless you eventually for doing what's right. I mean, I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the life of others. You know, I try not to do the wrong thing. I mean, I do that too sometimes, and I pay for it. You know, but it's a good lesson sometimes, so you don't do it again because you know what you paid last time. So I'm sure these people, you know, after selling their kids into slavery and everything, they realize this is not right. You know, we can't do this. And the leaders, it said, eventually repented from this. So then Nehemiah says to the nobles and the princes, return their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves and houses to them immediately, along with the percentage of the grain, the money, the new wine, and olive oil that you have been assessing them. Now you got to make this right. You know, it's wrong, but now you have to take action and make it right. They responded, we will return these things and require nothing more from them. We will do as you say. So I summoned the priests and made everyone take an oath to do this. So be careful if you say you're going to do something and you don't do it. You're probably better off not doing it. I also shook the folds of my robe and said, may God likewise shake from his house and property everyone who doesn't keep this promise. May he be shaken out and have nothing. The whole assembly said, amen. And they praised the Lord. Then the people did as they had promised. So they did. They repented and they did exactly what they said they would do. And they prospered after that. So repentance is good for the soul. Repentance is definitely a good thing because we all go astray and we all need repentance in our lives. We all need to get back on track, so to speak, when the train is off the track. So at the end here in Nehemiah chapter 6, we see the conclusion of all of this. It says from verses 15 through 16, it says, the wall was completed in 52 days. On the 25th day of the month of Elul, when all our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence. See, God's people worked together in unity. They prayed together. They fasted together. And the enemy just slunk away and lost their confidence. See, you can't give up in the battle. That's the message. When the battle's hot and heavy, you're there in it to the end. You know? You're there to death, if necessary. But you can't give up. For they realized that the task had been accomplished by our God. He always accomplishes the task on our behalf. You know, he put you here, he's seeing you through this life, and he's taking you out and putting you where he wants you. In the next life, despite the threats from their enemies on the outside and inside, the people persevered when they put their trust in God. You know, you think about Jerusalem and how many times it's been destroyed on this earth. But there is a new Jerusalem that's to come. And no one will be able to destroy that city. It says it's a city not made with hands. You know, and there, the enemies of that city will not be any longer. You know, God said they will not hurt nor destroy in my holy city. That's the new Jerusalem. The one to come, the one that we are blessed to be a part of, that God has called us to, the very kingdom of God. So when you think about this story in Nehemiah, think about your own walls in your own life. Make sure they're strong. Make sure you guard them with prayer. Make sure you stay unified with your brothers and sisters and your family, as was talked about here in this story. And the blessing of God is always there, and the grace of God for your life. So trust in Him with all your heart.